Let's do it. I am Jeff K. This is the Jeff K. Show. We're broadcasting once again from deep, deep underneath a nondescript home in suburban Pennsylvania. Thank you guys for tuning in. Thanks for finding us. Thanks for listening and all that jazz. Today I wanted to tell you guys about something. This is a kind of like a, it's going to be an elongated version of a story I told at work the other day. I was telling somebody about one of the most awkward positions I've ever been put into at a in a working environment, and I wanted to tell that story today. It happened right after we moved to Atlanta. My girlfriend and I moved to Atlanta back in those days, and I took a job out at this indie record distributor, which sounds very cool, but it wasn't. It was like labels like Flying Fish, like bluegrass and gospel and stuff like this. That's basically what they sold. And they also had some kind of an exclusive deal with Ryko Disc, which was, I don't know, it seemed like that was like 80% of their business, maybe 90, I don't know. But they had, so it felt like the place was built on like a rickety foundation, you know, a rickety premise. In fact, my next novel that I write, that's the main character, Rickety Premise. No, I'm not. So the whole thing, they had this deal with Ryko Disc, which was, one of the bigger indie labels. I think they're out of Boston. I think they had the David Bowie catalog at one point. Who knows? But so that was their, the whole thing was built. I don't know. I mean, I don't know their business model, but I was skeptical. They said they were going to hire me in as I was going to run this new video division. That never happened. They stuck my ass in the warehouse. I was running some kind of UPS machine and worked back there with genuine idiots. You know, there's like seven. It's a small company, maybe like seven people in the entire warehouse, and mostly. I'm generalizing a little bit. Dumbasses, like all of them, pretty much. You know, I'd sit in the break room and I'd be like, oh my God, listen to these guys talk. It's like, how did I get to this place? What series of decisions have led me to this place? And I hated it. They stuck me on this UPS machine. And I think the thing was, I can't remember the complete details of it. It was simple. Basically, you put the package on the scale, type in the zip code, maybe, I don't remember. The thing would spit out some kind of label, you stick it on the package. I mean, I don't know. I don't remember. It was very, very simple. But that's what I was doing most of the time. And these guys would be like, I mean, they'd literally get into fist fights at work, you know? I mean, and there was this one guy, I think I mentioned him before. He had a brain in his head. The exception. He was, he had a brain in his head, but, he was also a chronic alcoholic. So there was that part. And, we used to get an hour lunch, and, he and I used to walk over to this Pizza Hut. He'd drink a full pitcher of beer during lunch. And, I got no issue with drinking beer, clearly. But, if it's on a Friday night, when you're out with friends, you know, there's nothing wrong with drinking a pitcher of beer. This was at 12:17 in the middle of the day at work. I think that's a little bit of, that's a little dubious. So he'd try to get me to join in all the time and I wouldn't. And he'd say, I guess you're just not as hard driving as I am. So yeah, that's probably true. I think you've assessed the situation correctly. I'm not as hard driving as you are. So he'd go get all liquored up on lunch, go back, pick orders for the rest of the day. So, but he was a smart guy, just a drunkard, whatever. So I hated every minute working in that place. And so I was continuing to look for jobs. And I got an interview with this the world's largest record company one day, all the way on the other side of town. The place I was working was in Norcross. And this place was like, polar opposite side of Atlanta. So I went out there one day. I went and interviewed, and the guy that interviewed me was like, yeah, it was, you know, he acted like he didn't have the energy to even, like, enunciate, you know. The guy was like, yeah, you know, sounds good, $5. You can start, and it's $5 an hour. I'm like, $5? Are you serious? You know, so we're sitting there discussing this, and we're in this, you know, out on the warehouse floor, and it's like a box with a desk in it, you know, and a couple of couches in there, and this is the manager's office, and you know, as we're discussing this $5 offer, how flattering. So this older man comes in, dressed nice. He's wearing business clothes, you know. So I assume he has some kind of juice there. I have no idea who this guy is. He comes in, picks up my resume, and flops down on the couch, one of the couches. You know, I'm sitting there talking to this guy. I said, I can't work for $5. I said, I got bills to pay. And he goes, well, I know all about that. I was like, yeah. I said, I'd like to get my foot in the door out here, but I can't work. I mean, $5, I can't do that. And he goes, well, that's how much it pays. You know, if you want to work here, it costs $5. I mean, it pays $5. I was like, well, that's unfortunate because I would like to work here. I would like to, this is a great company. I mean, I'm very familiar and all this, but I can't work for $5. He goes, well, that's what it pays. He couldn't give one tiny seahorse-shaped shitlet whether I took the job or not, you know. I said, well, I can't do it, so thanks for your time. So I started walking, and, you know, I was walking across the floor of the warehouse, and that man who had flopped down on the couch, he yells for me, and he comes over, and he goes, I see on your resume here that you have buying experience. I said, yeah, I was a buyer at Peaches Records in North Carolina, and, you know, so he goes, well, we might have an opportunity, an opening in the buying department here. We don't currently, but in the future, in the near future, we might. And would you be interested in that? I said, absolutely. He goes, well, we don't have it right now, so you'd have to start out in the warehouse. I said, well, I can't work for $5. He goes, well, how much are you making now? I said, $7. And that's not enough. I mean, $7 is not cutting it. So I sure as hell can't take a $2 an hour cut in pay. And he goes, well, how about $6? Would you work for $6 just to get your foot in the door? And he goes, I can't promise you anything, but, you know, there is going to be an opening in that department, and you have the right experience. So I sat there thinking, I was like, do I want to go back out there with Mr. Hard Driving, you know, and these dumbasses, these gold-plated fools out there? And I thought, you know, maybe let's just roll the dice on this. I said, all right, I'll do it for $6. He goes, don't tell anybody. You cannot say a word about this. He goes, if they find out, these other people here find out that we're starting you out at $6, it's going to be a war. Like, holy shit, $6 is going to cause a war? I said, all right, that won't be a problem. I won't say a word about it. So I got to do a 2-week notice, though. And he goes, he had this look on his face like, holy shit, 2 weeks. But he goes, all right, whatever. He goes, start on whatever. I don't even remember signing any papers or anything. The guy just said, come in here at, you know, 7:30 on Monday, whatever day. I don't remember. And said, all right, cool. So I went out and I told the guy at the place in Norcross, so listen, I'm going to be working. I'm going to be turning my notice. He goes, what? We've never had somebody that could run that UPS machine like you. I was like, what do you mean? I mean, a monkey. You could have a monkey in here running that thing. He goes, the number of errors that we used to get out of that thing is like completely gone. I go, all right, well, sorry, but I'm going to be moving on. He goes, where are you going? I said, where? He goes, what kind of position? I said, warehouse. I'm starting out in the warehouse. He goes, that's a meat grinder out there. I said, what the hell does that mean? He goes, they hire people. There's a giant turnover. You'll just be a number in that place. They won't even know you're there. He goes, you'll just disappear into the organism. I don't know if he said that, but he goes, that's a meat grinder. He kept saying that. I'm like, well, I'm going to take a chance on it. I was thinking to myself, cause I can't take another day of this nonsense. I'm going to roll the dice on it. I said, I think I might be able to get my foot in the door and move up. And he goes, so then he got pissed, you know, he couldn't talk me out of it. And he goes, all right, but listen, we start work at 8 o'clock every morning. Be on time. It's like, I don't recall ever being late, but all right, no problem. He had to give like some kind of shot, you know. So he was pissed at me. And I did my 2-week notice. I was back there running that because I was the champion. Apparently, I was the world's best UPS machine runner back there. And so I was working out my notice. One day I get one of the women from the front end in the front office comes back there and said, Jeff, you have a call, which seemed kind of weird. The only person that would even knew where I was at was my girlfriend, and she works at the same time. So she, you know, she never called me at work. So like, what the hell's this? So I go up there, and it's that guy, the guy that stopped me in the warehouse I wasn't going to say their name, but the guy at WEA, Werner Electro Atlantic. So he called me and he goes, listen, that opening, you know, we have an opening right now. It opened up faster or sooner than I thought. And I was wondering if you'd be interested in talking to us about it. I said, absolutely, for sure. And he goes, how about we come to you? I said, what do you mean? What's going on here? He goes, me and another gentleman will come out, but we'll come out and take you out to lunch. I said, okay. He goes, what time is your lunch break? And I told him, I don't know, 12 to 1 or something. I said, he goes, oh, we'll come out to you. And how about Cracker Barrel? I said, okay. Cracker Barrel in Norcross at 12 o'clock on whatever day. I said, all right. So I met him. It turns out he was the operations manager, and the guy he brought with him was the sales manager. These guys are like high rollers. They hired me as a warehouse worker, and I hadn't even started yet. And they were they drove all the way across town, which is probably an hour. I'm not kidding. An hour to get there, probably. And they took me to lunch, a company I hadn't even started working there yet. And they asked me a bunch of questions about what I did at Peaches, about my experience, blah, blah, blah. And then at the end of the lunch, they said, hey, so you want to do it? I said, you offered me the job? They said, yep. I said, let's do it. So it was paying more than what I was making at this this record distributor over there. And it was it was in the front office of a large record company. I mean, this is exactly what I wanted. Everything was coming together. It's like so weird. So then I finished working at that stupid distributor, and I reported my first day, and I get called down to the office to the guy who stopped me out on the warehouse floor. Which, thank God, he had just wandered into that office that day, because I was on my way out. You know, that would have been, it's one of those deals where if he'd have come in there 10 minutes later, my entire adult life would have been different. You know, it was so crazy. But anyway, so he calls me in. This is the awkward part. This is the part where it gets awkward. He calls me into his office and he goes, listen, you're the clerk. You're going to be the clerk in this department. The manager, you know, he does a good job, but the assistant manager got problems there. Well, we got some issues. We got several issues that I'm not going to describe to you. Undefined issues. So what we're going to do, what I want you to do is I want you to go in there, and I want you to have him train you, you know, learn as much as you possibly can from him. Just, I'll give you 90 days, and in 90 days, we're going to move you into his position. I was like, what? Are you serious? He goes, yeah, we're going to move you from clerk to assistant manager in 90 days. So it's very important that you go in there and you learn as much as you can. You can't say anything, obviously. I mean, he can't know about this. I'm like, oh my God. So on day one, it was bizarre. So I walk, I'm like, oh my God, this is, you know, so I go in there and I meet the guy, and it's my worst nightmare. He's cool. You know, he's a nice guy, funny, knows a lot about music. Immediately, like, hit it off, and we were joking around, you know. And, cool guy, you know. I'm like, oh, my God, this would be so much easier if the guy was a dick, you know. If he was some asshole that I couldn't stand, I'd be like, well, you reap what you sow. Done and done, you know. But you know, my worst nightmare, I like the guy. He's a nice dude. So I got this knowledge in the back of my head. This guy's about ready to be railroaded. I don't know what these, quote, issues were. I still don't know. But, you know, it seemed like he's a pretty good guy to me. I don't know. And, you know, he was funny and whatever. So I had all this knowledge that I was going to be taking his place in 90 days. And I had this dilemma. Like, should I tell him? You know, so I was like, every day was like, I don't know what I should do. I don't know what my moral obligations are. Yeah, this is the way I justified it. I don't know what you would think. Let me know what you think about this. But I thought, you know, his fate was already, before I even entered the picture, they decided that this guy had to be either moved into a different role or out, you know? That had nothing to do with me. This decision was made before I entered the picture. So there's nothing what am I going to do? I mean, I wasn't going to change their mind on that. And it would probably ruin any kind of opportunity for me in the future. So I thought, well, you know, that's you know, the prudent thing to do is to just do what they asked me to do and learn as much. But the only little thing that I did is they would ask me, they'd call me in from time to time, ask for feedback. I would give nothing but positive feedback about the guy. I would never say a bad thing about him. So they probably weren't looking for that. They were probably wanting me to confirm their feelings on the matter. But I never said anything negative about him. I always praised him. But it happened 90 days, almost to the day. They called him down there, and they said they were going to flip-flop our positions. They were going to demote him down to clerk, move me into the assistant manager role. And the guy quit in protest, which is what they were counting on, I think. So that was that. And I don't know, I felt kind of bad about it, but it wouldn't have changed the ultimate outcome of it. It would have just hurt me if I'd have said something to him. So I don't know. It's one of those situations where you don't know what to do while you're going through it. But it was a bizarre way to start a new job, that's for sure. And I ended up working there for 17 years. So, and the guy ended up starting his own record store in Atlanta, ran for many years. I think they finally closed, but, so he did all right for himself. I don't know if you know, he probably doesn't know anything about this, even to this day, even though it was 30 years ago, probably still piss him off. But, I don't know. I don't know what these quote issues were with this guy, but, they weren't happy with the situation. They stuck me in there I was just a pawn in the whole game, you know what I'm saying? All right, so that was the story, an elongated version of the story I told at work the other day. What would you do in that situation? It would have been so much easier if the guy had just been a total dick. then I'll be like, well, there you go. You're a dick. This is what happens. But he wasn't. Oh, man, what a ripoff. All right. I don't know. I think it's time. Yeah, it's time for
Jeff K's Whistle Dick of the Week.
Yeah, boy. You know, something has happened. I don't know how this happened. I think in the last 10 years or so, I've noticed this. 10 years to you youngsters, you younglings, that seems like a long time, right? 10 years, that's a decade, that's a long time. To me, an old bastard, an old broken down, burned out sack of shit, that's just like a snap of the finger, you know, 10 years. So in fairly recent times, I've noticed that people started saying, you know, like, say you had to take your car in for an inspection, right? That's what a normal human being would say. I need to take my car in for an inspection, right? I mean, that's what humans say. Now, in the last 10 years or so, I've noticed that people say, I need to bring my car in for an inspection. What the hell is that? You need to bring your car in for an inspection? You don't bring something where you ain't. You bring something to where you are. You don't bring it where you ain't. You bring it there. No, you'd bring it here. You don't bring it there. You know what I'm saying? You take it. You take your car in for an inspection. You don't bring it in for an inspection. What the hell's going on? The whole thing's breaking down. I don't understand it. So all you bringers, should-be takers, you are the undisputed whistle dick of the week. All right. This is a little short, running a little short on this one. Whatever. Let's just roll with it. I'm having trouble. God. You know, I do all right throughout about two-thirds of this thing. And then I start stumbling and mumbling and I don't know what the story is. I don't have the, what is the word I'm looking for? Stamina to do 30 minutes. Oh, man. All right. So anyway, if you want to double down on the Jeff K Show, double down. Do it today. Go over to patreon.com/Jeff K. That's patreon.com/Jeff K. Sign up for a $4 or more patronage. That's a monthly donation. A patronage is a donation. Stick it on a credit card. It comes out at the first of every month, $4. $4 will unlock the Thursday show. There's a bonus show for patrons only. It's exactly like the Monday shows. And, you know, it costs $4. It doesn't cost you anything. It's a thank you for donating. So anybody who, I'm having trouble. I mean, I am struggling like a son of a bitch here. Anyway, if you want twice the number of Jeff K shows every week, head on over to patreon.com/Jeff K, sign up for a $4 or more patronage, and you will gain access to the Thursday shows. All right, we're near the end of this thing. We will close it out, and I will see you on Thursday over at Patreon. Until then, I'll see ya. Bye. An old broken down, burned out sack of shit.